This morning, we talked about eternity, a subject that is going to take faith for every one of us to even believe that such a thing exists, because all I know is time. But I was thinking about a verse. It's in 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. It talks about us seeing through a glass darkly. I'm not able to see clearly. Some things that the Bible tells me is out ahead. But it said there's going to come a time where it's going to clear up. I'm going to see it face to face. There is ahead for each of us an appointment. It's hard for me to imagine it. But in Hebrews 9 and 27, for every person that has ever lived, it said it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. It's ahead for every one of us. And it's something that in this day and time, I need to keep it in my mind. There's another verse that I want to look at in Ecclesiastes. The very last verses in the book of Ecclesiastes. 12th chapter, 13th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. When we sum up everything about life and death and eternity out ahead, here's how I need to conclude it. Fear God. Keep His commandment. This is the whole duty of man. Because here's what's going to happen. God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It's going to take faith for me today to be able to believe that all this is out ahead. There's another verse I want to look at in Revelations 20 and in the 11th verse. I need to have faith to believe that one day I will stand here at this great white throne. I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now, you know, today we see people that have no fear of God on their heart. They will say there is no God. This one says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Would like to get away from this time, but no one can avoid it. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and there's going to be some books open. The book of life is one of them. And it says also there's some other books that are where they're judged according to their works. The things that we have done throughout our life, I will stand before this judgment seat one day and give account of those things. And it says that nobody is going to avoid it. We were flying over the ocean to Germany one year, and I looked on the little screen of our flight map, and right under, I mean, it's like we're out in the middle of the ocean, and I see this little picture come up. It says, right here is where the Titanic sank. Well, I mean, it is miles and miles from anything. Several thousand people maybe died in that. I went to the bottom and have never been found. But it doesn't say they're gone forever. It says the sea gave up the dead which were in it. You know, it's going to take me some faith to believe all this, because we can get in our minds, here's limits of what can happen. But no, everyone will come back to be judged one day. And it says in the very last verse, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, I need to have faith to believe that there's a hell. A lot of religious people today are saying we have discovered there is no hell ahead. Mega churches that are saying, the leader saying, I've searched it out and there is no hell. Hell is what you have to live through while you're in this life. But what we need to do, because I have faith to believe that I'm headed for eternity, is I need to search the scriptures, and I need to have faith to believe what's in the scripture. I need to believe there is a heaven, there is a hell. And whatever I have to do to miss hell, do it. It will not be too big a price to pay. There's a verse in Psalms 9 and 17. It tells me the wicked will be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Well, when I look at that, I agree. People that live a wicked life will go to hell. But you know, there is something that comes on down closer to me today that I want to take a look at. Because you know what? I want to avoid hell myself. Let's look at Matthew 7 and 21. When we're in a time, if you were to look in the obituary, almost of any paper of people that have died, almost every time you will see it say, no matter how they lived, they're gone to be with the Lord. That's true. They have gone to meet the Lord. But I look at this one, Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? My name can be put in there too. Just because I say, Lord, Lord, does not mean that I will make heaven. But here's the ones that will. And we need to remember this 21st verse. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Here's what's going to determine it. Not what I say, but what I do. As I find in the scripture, places that the Lord says you need to cut this off, I need to cut it off. Because it's not going to be enough for me at the end of it to say, Lord, I'm ready to go to heaven. I've got to have his approval stamped on my life. Now, Jesus said one time, I do always those things that please my Father. Now, I'll tell you what, if we will live that kind of a life, we will see heaven. And if I don't, should I fail in some areas, if I would go back to the Lord and say, I thank you for showing me this area that I fell. By your help, I will clear this thing. I think about that prayer that King David prayed. A prayer of repentance. Lord, I want you to create in me a clean heart. I am sorry for who I was. I want you to make a change in me. We're living in a time today where there's a lot of people that say, I'm headed for heaven. The religious world around us says it is an easy thing to go to heaven. You only need to make a decision for Christ, and it'll take just a few minutes to say some words, and you will make heaven. In fact, some of them say no matter what you do after that, you are guaranteed to make heaven your home. Well, I would like to be able to take some time today to talk about heaven. But before we get there, I'd like to find out what's it going to take for me to make sure I can avoid hell. So this one tells me it's going to take me doing the will of the Father. And it says in the 22nd verse, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works, and I'll profess, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know what? I do not want to hear those words on that day. Because there's no time then for me to say, Lord, okay, I will clear that up. I will make the adjustments necessary now. It'll be too late. I want to look at another place in Matthew 25 and 31. Here's another picture of the judgment scene. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his Father. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That would be a wonderful thing to be able to hear. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit this kingdom prepared for you. And he goes down in these next verses, I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you visited me. I was sick, and you fed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Look at all those things, and they ask him the question, when did we see you with these problems, and we helped you? And he says, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Then in the 41st verse, he turns that all around the other way. And he says to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This little picture right here in the 41st verse tells me that it was never intended that anyone would go to hell. This was intended to be for the devil and his angels. But he goes on to say there's people that will go to hell. And as I look at this, he now reverses it the other way. I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. And it goes down into they say the same thing. When did I see you this way? And he said, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you didn't do it to me. 46th verse says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So I thought about the rich man and Lazarus. As I looked at that story, and I've wondered in the past, what is it about that story that caused the rich man to be lost? Didn't seem like it said anything about that he cheated, that he stole to get his wealth. And I thought, you know, even at his funeral, maybe people spoke well of him. He was a prosperous businessman. But the Bible says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You know what? I'm determined today. I want to avoid. Don't want to go there. So I looked at this story again. And it says to the folks that he said depart, he said there were opportunities for you to help someone. Now, I know this is just one thing out of many that we do to be able to make heaven our home, but this is one of them. You know, works alone will not save us. It's going to take the blood of Christ being applied to my heart. But then it tells me there's some things that I need to be alert about me. And I remembered then, the rich man had an opportunity to help somebody that's a hungered. And he gave them no meat. And he ended up in hell. And I've been saying, Lord, help me. Are there some people? Is there someone that happens to be at my gate? Somebody that I come in contact with that I should be alert to? You remember this morning we're talking about with eternity. It's so hard for me to realize that there's something out there where time is no longer measured. And I get caught up in the temporal things of this life that are lawful. I should be doing them. But you know what? I don't want to do them to the point that I don't see someone around me that is in need and I don't have the time for them. As I was looking at this story of the rich man and Lazarus, one's in hell, the other's in heaven, and this story was a long time ago. And it tells me by what I read that today they're still in that place. I need some time to ask the Lord, would you pull back the curtain a little bit for me that I would be able to see into eternity? I'm headed there. Every one of us are headed there. Would you help me to see a little picture? What it's going to be to make heaven? What it's going to be lost? I do not want to do it. I don't want to be lost at the end. Thought about the rich man. He had a memory. You know, a memory today for us is a blessing. A memory for him is like a cursing. To be able to remember, you know what? There were opportunities for me in my life to be able to be prepared, and I wasn't. But there was one more thing that he remembered. He remembered that he had five more brothers back there. And he said, okay, there's nothing can be done for me, but I've got five brothers. Would you send Lazarus back there so that he can warn them? And I think there's something important for us to remember as we journey through this life. And I'd like to look at it in Luke 16. and 29. Here's the answer he got back when he asked, "Would you just send Lazarus? Maybe he could turn their minds to where they won't come to this place." And here's the answer he got. Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." You know, even for myself, I would love to have someone come back and just tell us, "Folks, let me tell you what it is like over here. Heaven or hell," to warn us. And here's what we get. We got Moses. We got the prophets. We got the Bible to warn us. Won't be getting anything else. For me to take this warning every day of my life, as the devil wants to push me into any area that would cause me to be lost in the end, that I would be on guard. Whatever it takes for me to stay out of hell, I'll do it. I think we had that song, "Whatever It Takes to Draw Closer to You." Whatever it takes for me to be able to make heaven my home, I want to do that. And here's a picture of what I need to be willing to do should it take it. Matthew, the 18th chapter. This, as I read this now, thinking about eternity, it makes it seem really serious. Matthew 18 and 8. "If thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Now, is that saying, okay, I can make heaven if I cut my hand off? No. What it's saying is there's some things that the devil is going to bring to each one of us that could get us so involved, wrapped up in cares of this life, to where I could be lost in the end. And should the Lord alert me of that, let me be willing to cut it off. Realizing, and you know what, I'm not going to be willing to cut it off if I don't get a picture of eternity. And if I don't get a picture of what hell will be like, should I not cut it off? We're living in a time, and I've wondered in the past, the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. What picture would that be for me today? What would I have to do to fall over in the foolish category? And when he comes again, I thought, sure, I was ready. You know, we just read verses about people that are going to be in that condition. "Lord, Lord, I've done a lot of things for you." And he said, "I don't know you. I don't want that to happen with me." But you know, we're living in a time where I'm starting to see some things that can cause me to get in the foolish category. We're living in an electronic age. Things that can cause me to get so wrapped up in my time, spend so much time. And folks, I tell you what, I have been able to realize it for myself recently. Dan, you better be on guard about the time you spend just tracking the news. What's happening today and tomorrow and the next day? And it's taken a lot of my thought. And it takes not only just my thought of the content of what is written, but then my thought starts running to what does the future hold and all these kind of things. And I have lost that amount of time in spending with the Lord. So for us, whatever it takes, as we go home from these services right here, if we would be able to have a picture in our mind, there's hell out ahead, and there's a lot of folks that are already there. And I say, I don't want to go, nor do I want to be one of those that stand before the Lord, sure, I wasn't going to go, and he says, "I don't know you." Now's my time for preparation. It's not going to be just by works. I won't be able to go home and say, you know what, I'm going to make a lot of changes in my life. I'm going to need the blood of Christ applied to the doorpost of my heart. And then I need to let him start working in my life, because the danger that I have is I can be like the man that heard And he went away, looked in a mirror, then he went away and he forgot what manner of man he was. You know, I can have the Lord prick me about something. And I say, okay, Lord, I want to take care of that. And I go away and forget what I heard. I am so thankful that the Lord is merciful. But I would like, as we go from here, remember, hell is out there. Hell is real. And the devil has a plan for every one of us here to spend eternity there. But I want to take a few minutes on the other side, because we do not have to have that to be our destination. I was thinking of the young man that came running to Jesus. He had a question. Good master, what good thing must I do that I might be able to inherit eternal life? I want to have that same prayer myself to the Lord. Lord, I want to have eternal life. I'm getting a little vision that eternity is out there with no ending, and I'm going to spend it in heaven or in hell. So I'm asking you, Lord, I want you to lead me in the way everlasting. If any man be in Christ, he's going to be a new creature. As we look around us at the religious world that says we're on our way to heaven, don't let the devil discourage us. Be faithful. Realize God is looking for a people that's walking close to him. Not seeing how far, how close we can get to the world, but saying, Lord, I want to put a distance between me and the world, because I want to make heaven my home. I'm going to need to have a vision of eternity. I'm going to need to have a vision of hell. I'm going to need to have a vision of heaven, and hold those before me as I make decisions out in the future, that I'll be able to tell the Lord, Lord, okay, I can't see where this decision will take me, but I do have a desire to make heaven my home in the end. When we were reading this morning in 2 Peter, the third chapter, we really got a glimpse of what the heart of God was. It said he's not willing that any would perish. He does not have a desire that any of us would be lost. But you know what? There were some faithful people that were lost in the end. We were just talking this morning about some of the songs that we read about, sing about, of D.O. Teasley. A man that walked so close to God, wrote some songs of visions that he had about eternity. And yet he kept on living some life. And time passed by. You know what? The devil does not care how long it takes. If it takes 5 years, that's okay with him. 10 years, 20 years, whatever it takes, that he could trip us up before we go out of this life. But the Lord's desire is that we wouldn't perish. In fact, John 3:16 also says what God's desire is. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have this very thing we're talking about, have everlasting life. So it's his desire to do it. And I thought from the very beginning of time, with the Garden of Eden, we saw a little picture of that. Because what we talk about in the Garden of Eden is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and how they fell from that. But you know, there was another tree in that garden. It was the tree of life. His real desire was that their desire would be, Lord, I thank you for everything you've given me. There's only one thing you're telling me to stay away from. If I'll stay away from that, I can go to the tree of life at any time and live forever. You remember what happened when he drove them out? He said, there's something I'm going to have to do. The tree of life is still in the garden. Lest they should come back and take of that tree and live forever. That was his plan, for them to be able to live forever. Lest they should do it. And he said he's going to put an angel with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life, to keep them from coming back to it. But what it tells me is God had a desire from the beginning for man to live forever. And it's only sin that separates that. There was another place. You know, sometimes when we think about how all this is going to close up, it can kind of bring a fear to our heart. But in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, it tells us about what's going to happen. Trump's going to sound. Those that are alive and remain should be caught up. And he closes that little those verses out with something. I want you to comfort one another with these words. Is it a comfort to you today to hear that one of these days my life is going to close out, but I can make heaven my home? That's the way it should be. That's what I need to be holding out in front of me is, Lord, by your help, I'm going to make heaven my home. It's a comfort to me. What causes it to be a comfort? I looked at where's my heart? This morning we heard out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Where is my heart? I was looking at a verse in Colossians. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and in the 1st verse. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So if I say, you know what, I'm living for the Lord, I've got heaven as my goal, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Now, can I do that and still go to a job next week? Is it possible to do both? It is possible. What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to it. As I was looking at this verse, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, as I make more deposits over into heaven, it starts looking better and better. You remember it looked good enough to Paul that one day he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. To go to heaven would be the best thing for me. You know what? I'd like to be living my life not to where I cannot stand living here. I think God wants us to enjoy everything that he has given us here, but living in the place to where when he calls for me, I have some things invested over on the other side in heaven. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. There's another verse in Hebrews in the 11th chapter. Said there were some people that confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers. Do I live my life that way today? I'm working a job, and yes, I buy a car. I buy my house. I'm doing temporal things. But am I living to where the world knows that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here? Should those things be taken from me? You remember when it was all taken from Job, it showed us where his heart was. He had an abundance of things. But when it was all taken away, he didn't curse God and die. Instead, he said, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That gives us a picture of where his heart was. I believe he enjoyed the temporal things God had given him. But when it was taken away, it did not cause him to turn away from God. In the end of the 13th verse of Hebrews 11, they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. They that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. Can the world around me declare plainly, hey, you know what, he's living here, but he's got his heart set on something above. He's seeking another country. It says, truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know what, at any time today, we can make a choice and go after the world if we want to. It's a choice that we make. But what my hope would be is that we each one have a vision of eternity, of heaven and hell, that when those choices are presented, if I cannot tell which direction they will take me, I will ask God to search for me. Lord, where will this lead me should I pursue it? Because my desire is I want to make heaven my home. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do I have that as a drawing string in my heart? Lord, I believe you have prepared a place for me. I don't want there to be anything hinder me from being able to make it to that place. My desire is to make heaven my home. So there is a, you remember when we read this verse, and a lot of times we see only the negative from it, but it's in Galatians. It's in the 6th chapter and in the 7th verse. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And every time I read that verse, I think, I tell you what, you go out into sin and you're going to reap some things. But you know what? That's not the only reaping that he was talking about. It's true, he says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You know what? We see that every day in the world around us. I was called a couple weeks ago to be called onto a jury selection. And they told us that this is a murder case that will be tried. And they gave us some of the details, and it started making me think about this verse right here. You know what? You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Not only in the life to come, but you're going to reap some here. But look at it. It didn't end there. I'm interested in making heaven my home. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And here it says, don't let yourself be weary in well-doing. In due season, we're going to reap if we faint not. I think about Sister Betty coming out today as a sacrifice for her to come out. But you know what? Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season, the reaping is going to come. And I want to be ready for that. Folks, when decisions come to us in the future, the devil's going to try to twist them to where he'll say, this is the very best for you. But let's ask God, I want you to lead me into the way everlasting. Whatever it takes to draw closer to you, that's what I'll be willing to do. That is our prayer.